that guy is one of the best ever wear that uniform. And the way he was on the field and off the field, I have a son back in the 80s. Growing up playing baseball, I say, that's the guy you got to look for. That's the guy I'm going to tell you how to play baseball. Not fancy guy, go out there about his business. Great hitter, tremendous speed. He do everything Major League Baseball asked you to do. He did it. And to me, you know what I mean, when you talk about him, talking about Santos, talking about him, you talk about
Ernie Banks. Billy Williams.
Billy Williams. You talk about this guy's name. He's got to be out there. You talk about big league players. You know, look at that. He's going to tie the game. He just run the bases like nothing happened.
You know what he was? He was class.
That's the most he could do to the fans. Look at that.
Yeah.
Respect the game.
There's actually been a lot of love flowing from south to north after the passing of Rhino. Ozzy speaking so beautifully about him. Big Frank with a gorgeous story about those two guys sharing a trip to Cooperstown.
Yeah, Tanny, speak on that, would you? That's your guy, Big Frank, and to see him tweet that.
Yeah, Frank is like my Rhino. I grew up like, you know, because I wasn't quite old enough to experience the entirety of Rhino's Cubs career, but certainly knew the impact, like, you know, growing up in the era Lawrence is talking about, where it's like you go to grade school book fairs and it's like you got the Ryan Sandberg poster there. You know what I mean? And like, I just saw a great photo from the Sox photographer who took like the Ryan Sandberg, you guys remember the score baseball card where it's like the point of view of looking up at Rhino with the clouds. It's a great shot. I had no idea that the Sox photographer shot that.
Is that Darren Georgia?
No, it's Ron Vesely, I believe.
Ron Vesely,
yeah,
okay.
Who was just unbelievable. But anyway, Frank Thomas tweeted a story about all the times, like I think it was plural, that he shared flights with Rhino going to Cooperstown and then them just sharing stories about, you know, who was whose wife's favorite player and just ball breaking. And I just, you know, these guys are probably on, I heard them talking about the morning show today, like the Chicago baseball Mount Rushmore. Hard to believe those two guys are not on it. And just to think of them sharing stories and, you know, guys that you did, like, were not necessarily in the same era in a lot of ways, at least the way that I saw it. But then Lauren says, yeah, they probably are very like-minded, but just thinking of them two laughing and sharing jokes, that made me very happy today on a day where I know a lot of people who I care for dearly are very sad today.
I think about both of those guys in the era that they played, and it's a little, you know, towards the end of Rhino's career and a big chunk of Frank's. But when you talk to those guys and you listen to Rhino's speech and you listen to Frank's speech, those two guys were very serious about the game and wanting to protect it from all sorts of influences.
Yeah, I was there for Frank's speech back in 2014 when he was inducted. And, you know, the theory, you know, the whole theme of no shortcuts, you know, that was Frank's big message in his speech. And, yeah, you're right. Rhino's a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from you. 312-644-6767. Roger, you're on the score.
Hi, I'm a neighbor of Ryan and Margaret. We moved into our house about the same year that they moved in Lake Bluff. And I got, even though I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, I remember Billy Williams as a rookie. I got to know Ryan in a completely different way as a friend. Margaret, who was a wonderful hostess, started getting a group of us neighbors together, and we would get together and have dinner, drink. But during COVID, Ryan decided we're going to get together in his garage. So he would open up the garage doors, get chairs set up. A group of us neighbors would come. He would be the bartender, and he would play rock and roll on his classic vinyl records that he has in his garage, and we would get up and dance. he was a real gentleman.
Wow.
One story, you know, and you hate to pry about his, you know, career when you get together, but he was open to talk. And I asked him one time, tell me, how did you take, what was your attitude about the game? Well, he said, every day I was the first one at practice. And during that time, I would practice fielding, because he believed that fielding would be useful helpful and beneficial to the team every day, even if it was a day that he didn't really hit very well.
And that makes perfect sense for his statue.
That's why he wanted it that way, or why he dreamed of it that way, was because of the defense. He always said the defense is what got him to the big leagues. And he felt good about that being the calling card. That's amazing. Sandberg and gathering people in his garage during COVID. Thank you, Roger the neighbor. Unbelievable.
Let's go to Dave from Highland. Hey, Dave, you're on the score.
I want to be Roger.
All right, Dave, tell us about your time in Ryan Sandberg's garage.
I mean, yeah, no kidding. I'd still be there. You know, at 92, I'm at a Springsteen concert at the Old World Music Theater, and I'm in the beer line. And all of a sudden, all these people, I thought they were cutting in line, and they start running up in front of me. And it was Ryan Sandberg waiting in line like everybody getting a beer. And I couldn't believe it. And it took about 10 minutes, and they all kind of, it was very respectful. They all kind of walked away. And thank God for paper tickets. I had, it's the only thing I had in my hand for him to sign was a paper ticket. And I had my ticket out waiting for everybody to leave, and they leave. And he just smiles and he turns and he orders his beer. I'm thinking, well, I'm screwed now. And he turns around and hands me his beer and says, hold this. And he takes my stub and signs it. So, and I said, God, thank you, Ryan. It's no big deal. It was great.
So Ryan literally asked you to hold his beer.
Hold my beer.
How great is that?
And you did. And you never washed that hand again.
That's imagine that. Sandberg turned, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Well, I can sign your ticket stub.
Uh-huh.
That's beautiful. Two for two.
Yep.
All right.
Keep them coming, people.
Let's go to Jake from Decatur. Hey, Jake, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. I'm really loving the show. I just wanted to call. One of you said earlier something about, you know, Ryan Sandberg was above baseball. And I am a born and raised St. Louis Cardinals fan. I love the show, but I'm a Cardinals fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Sandberg is hands down the best second baseman of all time. And I remember as a kid in the 80s, like you guys were talking about, we're all roughly the same age. Oh, we got the Cubs coming to town. Well, you know, they got Sandberg. You always had to watch for Ryan Sandberg, man. But all these stories about what a class act he is makes him even better. But I just wanted to say, hands down, best second baseman all time, and sounds like an even better man. And I'm sorry for all my family and friends that are Cubs fans, because he was a hell of a ball player.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. It's I meant what I said to counsel about that period in the back half of his career when everybody kind of knew that Sandberg was now the greatest second baseman of all time.
Except for one person.
Except for Joe Morgan, who didn't.
Every chance that he got.
Every chance that he got. He kind of.
So annoying and yep. So beneath someone who was so great.
Uh-huh. But like he had 277 homers as a second baseman. That was the record until Jeff Kent passed it in 2004. Can I give you my favorite Sandberg stat?
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's not the triples one?
No.
Okay.
Only four players in baseball history have had a 40 home run season at one point in their career, and also a 50 stolen base season in their career.
I mean, that's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that with me.
You're welcome, Justin. Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, did the 50-50 thing.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
Brady Anderson.
Remember that 50 home run season that Brady Anderson had? And we were all like, that's weird.
Yeah. And Ryan Sandberg had a 40 homer season and a 50 stolen base season.
It's wild.
And let me add, it's five because Ronald Acuna Jr., this must have been old when I wrote it. Acuna Jr. had a 40-70 season.
Yes.
In the same year. So add Acuna. So Shohei, Bonds, Brady Anderson, based on one freakish steroids home run year.
We don't know that.
Okay. And Ryan Sandberg.
It was odd, though.
But how about that? To be the greatest defensive second baseman of all time, arguably. To have a 40 homer year and to be a guy who's fast enough to have 50 steals at 1.2.
And
I love that.
And all those triples. It's pretty wild. Hey, Matt, you're on the score.
Hello, hey,
Matt.
How we doing?
Good. What's up, man?
I just wanted to call in. This has been a big year for the Cubs this year, and my dad and I, he just retired. We're following every single game, and broke my heart. One, watching the Cubs lose yesterday, but hearing the passing of Ryan. And I guess just growing up, you know, I heard about from my dad how amazing all the Cubs players were. You know, Fergie Jenkins, Billy Williams, Ron Santo, who I had the pleasure to meet a few times. And I got to meet Ryan Sandberg a few years back after I went to Cooperstown to play baseball. And he signed, you know, the card that he had from Cooperstown that year. And what everybody's saying about don't meet your heroes, you know, Ryan was the exception. He was a fantastic guy and definitely makes you proud to be a Cubs fan.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. A reminder, if anyone wants to know for sure the correct pronunciation of Ryan Sandberg's name, 545 would be a good time to listen to the radio station.
Yeah, because we have a colleague who for forever will be the quintessential piece of audio that you need to hear if you have questions about how that man's name is pronounced.
Moments after the announcement last night, people tweeting, hey, can we hear that thing?
We're going to let you hear it.
Tanny, you got the thing?
Got that thing.
Yeah, got that thing. How y'all doing?
Mario is in Hyde Park. What's up, sir?
Oh, Mario, how you been?
Hey, fellas. What's up, Steve? Hey, Lawrence. Long time no see, brother. I will say this as a White Sox fan, but I don't want to qualify this by saying it, but it's important. Back in 1982, 83, 84, the Cubs were it on TV. So you were watching that if you didn't have Sports Vision or on TV or whatever they were doing back then, scamming the public. But that's another story. Watching the Cubs and watching Ryan Sandberg play and watching him play a lot, like I watched a lot of those games. He was one of one. That hasn't happened since Sandberg retired, that kind of second baseman with that kind of, I mean, not even Jeff Kent. And he was a really, really good second baseman. Ryan Sandberg was an amazing athlete. I don't think people understand the athleticism of him.
He's a three-sport athlete.
Position.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think when we, and I did not have a personal interaction with him, I really regret that that never happened. But I think Chicagoans, if they're being honest, no matter who you like, whatever team you support, that was one of those dudes, when you saw him on TV, you stopped what you were doing to watch his at-bat. If you were lucky enough to go to a game, you focused a lot on 23. He was an amazing, amazing baseball player. And listening to everybody's reflection, and I've been listening all day, and the score, once again, home run. You guys knock it out the park all the time. Listening to people, I don't feel as sad as I guess I thought I would feel. I feel really encouraged that there's still a chance for people to be kind and to care about their thing that they do and be passionate about it and not be a jerk and touch people's lives positively. So I will just say that, and I will keep it moving, but yeah, man, Ryan Sandberg was no joke. Watching him play was a thrill, and I'm hopeful that everybody listening and that has commented today really finds some money in their pocket and donates to this Cubs Care Radiothon on Thursday. It's important that we fight hard to eliminate this stupid disease.
Man, Mario, that's a beautiful call. In all of the ways, and you speaking to your experience watching the man as a ball player and what the station can be on a good day like this, we appreciate all of it, man.
That part that he's talking about is really important, because there are plenty of people who will be like, well, hear me talk about growing up and having a kid in Roseland having a Rhino poster.
Yeah.
Guess what was on TV when I came home as a little kid?
That's what you had.
Cubs games were on. And you can get the White Sox on, like Mario said, on Channel 44. But you come home from school, the Cubs game was on. And it was going to be on for an hour or so after you got home from school. So there are plenty of Southside Gen X fans of baseball that are versed in both Cubs and White Sox because of the power of the Superstation. Like, it's a big deal. And think about all the people that it's influenced around this country.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Parade High School All-American as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Ryan Sandberg.
He's a real guy.
He had a lot of scholarship offers to go play quarterback
yeah.
in college.